Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brian behind the glass. Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Lots to get to today. Texans had a joint practice against the Carolina Panthers. This is better than preseason games for me. I love joint practice days in the NFL. We'll kick that around a little bit later. Disrespect for certain quarterbacks around the league is starting to irritate me. Cash them or trash them on a Thursday as well.
Trash.
What are we trashing? Cash or trash on a Thursday is happening.
I was just playing one of them.
Should have paid. You played the wrong one. There we go.
Is that better?
Yeah, I feel. Now I'm at ease. Vibes are good. Back on track. Astros played a baseball game last night. Had the off day today, but we are sweating a game currently. It is in a rain delay, though, in Baltimore.
I thought you were going to say we're sweating in here because it's kind of toasty in here.
Yeah, I'm trying not to complain. I'm trying to be better about that.
Kind of an oven. But
no argue. I detect no lies.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to argue. I'm trying not to complain. It's one of my flaws as a person is complaining. So I try to complain less. But you're not wrong.
I was monitoring that game on the way in.
Yeah, Brian, get to work.
Very, very pleased about the fact that currently Baltimore is up 5-0 on the Mariners. Hopefully that I don't mind it if they just cancel it right there and say, hey, that's a complete game. Let's throw that one in the books.
I wonder what would have to happen for that to happen. Like, they have the rest of the day to let the rain stop. They do travel today.
The travel is the thing. I think travel and the fact that they know that game probably weighs. It's very important as it weighs into how they're going to, you know, who's going to, you know, kind of when the dust settles, be on top of the West. So I would think that they're probably going to do everything they can to finish that bad boy today.
That's my guess, too.
Yeah. But I was pleasantly surprised when I checked the scoreboard to see a 5 spot for the Orioles.
Orioles, I mean, they lost 1-0 on Tuesday. Then yesterday, they blew a 2-run lead in the ninth. Mariners scored 2 in the top of the ninth to tie up, and then Baltimore walked it off. I watched the end of that. The Mariners, who was it, Brash? Matt Brash was in the game. He got the first two guys out. I mean, there was 2 outs, nobody on, bottom of the ninth. Some dude walked, and then Jackson Holliday doubled down the right field line, won them the game. So thank you, Baltimore. Appreciate it. Hope you get another one, and then they come into town.
I was going to say thank you, tomorrow. But yet they're coming here, and you don't want that to continue when they get here.
Yeah. Astros, meanwhile, they won a baseball game. They won a series yesterday, getting it done over the Red Sox. Good win, obviously. You secure your third straight series victory against three good teams. Miami was playing really good baseball at New York, Boston, both playoff teams. I guess the storyline yesterday was Hunter Brown.
Yeah. I think in because it was a great, I won't say a great, but a really good performance by Hunter Brown. But I think it's also worth noting that he didn't have his best stuff. The fact that, you know, on a night when a guy that can really has one of the most dominating four-seam fastballs and fastballs in all of baseball isn't locating it, and you could see that the frustration was building with him not locating it, that he found another way to win. I mean, he basically altered what he was doing in terms of his approach to hitters and kind of swayed away from his go-to fastball. And still got guys out and only gave up one run and had a hell of a performance.
That was some good pitching.
Yeah.
Some good pitching by Hunter Brown. The command wasn't good. He didn't get as many swings and misses as he normally gets, too. Brian Abreu, in one inning, got as many whiffs as Hunter Brown did yesterday. 7.
I did not realize that. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Which shows you Abreu stuff, but also shows you the lack of Hunter Brown. His stuff wasn't as pristine as it usually is. The command, you're right, wasn't there. They still only gave up 3 walks in 6 2/3. Gives up 1 run against a good offense in 6 2/3. That was some maturation, I think, from Hunter Brown.
I think you're right. I mean, we know that he's got a hammer for an arm and that he can, you know, he can punch people out at any time. But when you kind of learn how to pitch and learn that some nights you're just not going to have your A stuff, but you still find a way to win, that's the show, as you said, that's maturity, but that shows you that a pitcher is kind of growing up in front of us that the Astros are going to lean heavily on, not just this year, but for the next several.
It felt like a good win, too, just to bring some calm to the team for a day. Like, yes, they've been winning series. They've won three in a row. But you have the hater news. You have some injuries here and there. You were swept in Fenway right at the trade deadline. I feel like for at least a night, for at least a day, Houston Astros are calm.
Well, you gave up two touchdowns the night before, too.
That coming off a devastating loss. Yeah,
you got absolutely crushed after all the news that you mentioned. And it's like, yeah, you couldn't feel much worse coming into that game. But you knew you still had a chance to salvage the series, and they did what they needed to do. And, you know, and they maximized the hits that they got. They didn't hit the ball all over the field and tally up a bunch of hits. They only had four, but two bombs and a timely base hit. And the next thing you know, you got four on the board for a guy that pretty much can get you home from there, and they did.
Yeah, all the wins are worth one over 162, but last night felt a little bit bigger. It felt a little bit bigger. Rubber game, playoff caliber opponent. What are you going to do post-Hader? Just Hunter Brown's on the mound. You hate losing whenever Hunter Brown's pitching because it's Hunter, Fromber, and then you figure it out after that. So it feels like even more so when Hunter Brown is pitching, when Fromber's pitching, that you have to win those games. So all well there. Hunter Brown, top three AL Cy Young. Still watching that. We're on top three Cy Young watch. Very, very firmly in the mix. We'll see where it lands, and he's obviously got to pitch well. I guess it would be the second game post-Hader, but the first time that you actually had to go to leverage guys post-Josh Hader, they haven't announced a closer. A spot is like, we're going to mix and match. Dana said we're going to mix and match. How did things go in your mind? First leverage situation after the Hader news.
Yeah, the only thing from Abreu was, and maybe, you know, he was a little juiced up, but, you know, gives up two hits, but the velocity is 100. I mean, he's hitting 100. You could tell that in his mind, because of how emotional he was after the last out, it felt like, regardless of what they're going to name or say about who their closer is, he knows this is his opportunity and he wants it. And he continues to do what he does. Even if he gets guys on base, he gets out of it. And his stuff is dominant when he has that fastball rolling like that, and that slider can really keep hitters off balance. I was good with what Abreu did last night.
Will you be okay if a spotter uses Abreu in the eighth inning?
Yeah, I think that what we talked about previously, and this was also going back to the days of when they had Presley and they had three basically bona fide closer type stuff guys at the back end of their bullpen. You use them basically judiciously based on what the matchups are. I think that if you get a team that's very top heavy and they've got their 1-2-3s or their 2-3-4s coming up in the middle of their lineup, and you know your best leverage pitcher left in your bullpen or the guy that has the best stuff is Abreu, then you go to him.
Yeah, I don't need my best reliever pitching in the ninth. I'm with you there. Like if the more difficult pocket and it's advantageous to a matchup is in the eighth inning, pitch the eighth. I have no problem with that. I actually like it. Now, regular season, I think relievers are a creature of habit. I think it is good to have assigned roles throughout a regular season. And then once you're in these must-win games, you throw caution to the wind. You forget all about the roles and just go win a ball game. But because you're in a stretch drive, your closer's going to be out for at least 15 days, more than that, according to Espada. We fear even worse than that. I have no issue with not anointing a closer. I imagine Abreu's still going to get most of those looks, but I have no issue. Hey, okay, we're facing the Mariners tonight. We're up a run in the eighth inning, 2-3-4 coming up in the eighth. I don't care if Abreu's facing that pocket instead of Souza. So I'm okay if he's not pitching the ninth every time.
But I'll say this, Souza kind of, everybody was watching it with Abreu too. Souza did a hell of a job last night. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely fantastic with three punch outs, you know, an inning and a third, and just absolutely did what you needed him to do. He has been fantastic all year, and obviously everybody in that bullpen is subject to a hiccup now and then, but he's been a huge bright light in that bullpen, and I think that he'll probably get the first chance to kind of fill that 7-8 again, like you said, wherever they need someone.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of trust in that bullpen when he comes out of the pen.
I always look at it as your top leverage arm. Like, who cares what inning they're picking? Like, okay, here's our top leverage arm. As of, like, it used to be Hader, then it was Abreu, then it was kind of a mixed bag after that. Right now, the top leverage guy is Brian Abreu. Mm-hmm. Second, unanimously, no doubt about it, is Bennett Sousa. Mm-hmm. No question. Mm-hmm. And, he's your number two.
And that's kind of like a twofold proposition, right? Because he's pitching really well, and Brian King has had a few hiccups lately. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it makes sense, and you can see it just kind of – it kind of solves itself that – you have other guys you can go to, and Okert has done everything. He's been kind of like your Mr. Goodwrench. You can use him as a spot opener. You can use him wherever you need him. He has some hiccups, but he's also been really steady for most of the year. But you've got guys you can choose from. I don't know where De Los Santos falls into all that. I know his fastball plays.
Yeah.
I just don't know with the secondary pitches how strongly they feel about it.
Well, where is your pecking order? Like, what is your leverage if you were managing the Astros tonight in a must-win game?
I think we nailed the first two. I think it's Okert and Sousa at the back end. And then from there.
You mean Abreu?
I mean Abreu, yes. Yeah. Yes. Abreu and Sousa. And then it's between Okert and King as third up in the bullpen. And then I think that Ort falls in there probably right behind them because of the fastball again, as well as De Los Santos. So I would say. I probably would lean right now that you go two lefties. I think that you would go with Abreu, and then you would go with Sousa, and then you would go with Okert, and then you'd probably go Brian King.
Yeah, I don't differ a whole lot. To me, it'd probably be more tiers. Like, Abreu's at the top of the tier, then Sousa's that second tier. Then there's probably a couple pitchers in that third tier, and I can play the matchups from this tier, whether it's King, whether it's Okert. I think the top righty I have after Abreu for me would be would be Ort. I would have Ort above De Los Santos right now. How about Dubin or De Los Santos?
I actually like De Los Santos better than Dubin.
Yeah, Dubin's been solid this year. Most recent outing, notwithstanding, whereas we've only seen De Los Santos once. Dubin was really good prior to this last outing.
He was, so. But you got to factor in that it's nothing to say about what he's done previously. It's the fact that coming back. You know, getting back to where he was is going to take some time. And the first game was one of those hiccups.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Get your thoughts on the Astros winning the series against the Sox. I have a theory. You mentioned the two home runs. Pena yesterday, only four hits, but long balls. Pena with the leadoff homer. Yiner hit one a little bit later. I have a theory on him that I want to run by you guys. We'll get to some of this quarterback conversation around the NFL. Who is being disrespected and who's doing the disrespecting? Texans were at joint practice today. Cash them or trash them. Plenty to get to. Also giving away some tickets today. To the listener party coming up. How are we doing this today, Brian?
A little game called Man of the People.
Undefeated at that game.
I was about undefeated. To say the controversial Man of the People, and you mentioned it, but you're
it's
not
only been
undefeated.
Controversial once.
You've lost to Joel.
Any time that game has been infiltrated with controversy.
The last time you faced Joel won.
It was the one time that it's been infiltrated with controversy. Huge controversy.
Disagree.
Had a Russian judge. But we'll be playing that a little bit later.
No, I'm from Kingwood.
We'll be playing that a little bit later. Men of the People. We'll do that later for ESPN Houston listener party tickets. But it is back. We'll be giving away tickets all month. The only way to get in is by winning tickets. Party is September 5th, 6:30 to 9:30 at St. Arnold. So be sure you're listening to us. Be sure you're listening to The Morning with John and Lance, the Del Olalea Show, the Paul Gallant Show. Even Glenn Davis is giving tickets to this bad boy. So you make sure you're listening all the time. But we'll be giving some away a little bit late. Not telling you when. I'm not a noob. But coming up a little bit later, you got to be listening the entire show for you to win a chance to get to our ESPN Houston listener appreciation party. But plenty to get to. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN975. You can find me there, Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter, ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. A Yiner Diaz theory when we come back. Killer Bees, ESPN975 and ESPN925. Here's a theory on where you should get your basketball goals from. Pro Dunk. It's no theory. It's a fact. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. It's unlike anything you're going to get at the big box store, so don't waste your time. Branham's saving you some time here. Those goals at the big box store, rim's not level, the wind's going to blow it. You get 10-mile-per-hour wind, that sucker's on its belly. You don't want that. You want a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals on the planet. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. Breakaway rim, more on that later. Stainless steel hardware, it's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston with our humidity, and it's height-adjustable. That's where the breakaway rim comes into play. You can lower that thing back down to 5 feet. Relive your glory days when you were dunking on 8-foot goals. You can lower it now down to 5 feet, dunk on those things. You want to work on your shot. You can raise it up to 10 feet, so no problem there. Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Thor is one of their basketball goals. But you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's called their lightning adjust feature. Anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do. Their accessories, next level. LED light kits for night play. You're at work, kids are at school, you can only play when the sun goes down. You got LED light kits, that's okay. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots, lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online at ProDunk.com. That's right. The pros from ProDunk professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. You're going to watch the ball game inside on the Lazy Boy. Let the pros at ProDunk do the work for you, and you'll be glad that you did. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822. That's 281-351-9822. Or visit them on the web at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
T from L.A. is griping about the roof at the Dike. How come the roof was open the whole road trip, and as soon as they come home, the roof is closed? As a taxpayer, I would like to see the roof open. Who wants to sit outside in an oven?
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, Key, when's the last time you checked the temperature at game time?
You know what? You know what? You know what, Keith? You know what? Do you know what? You just made the list.
You just made the
list. You're on Bad Take Boulevard, Key. That's a terrible take. We don't have California weather. We don't have L.A. weather. You want to sit out in a 95-degree heat, the sun on you? Yeah, it goes down at night, but it doesn't go down to 8:30. Have you heard of humidity? It's 95 degrees with a feels like of 117. Key from L.A., that's a terrible take.
You just made the list.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the
bad.
Only thing that could actually make it at least something you'd consider is if the AC was still having problems like it was two nights ago. But you just don't do that in Houston at this time of the season.
What a terrible, terrible take. You know what else, Key? You know what else? Not only did you make the list, you're banned for the rest of the show, Key. You're banned for the rest of the show.
Wow, you just made some people happy.
No more. Wait, what, Israel?
No, but there's people that like to go at Key.
Really,
because Key crawls out from under his rock whenever anything in L.A. goes good, and then when it goes bad, he runs and hides.
You were just banned for the rest of the show, Key from L.A. You can text us tomorrow, see how Matthew Stafford's back is handling him going back to practice. I walked down to the hallway. I walked down to get my water, and I heard Mapes reading a tweet. He's saying that Jimmy Garoppolo's throwing ambulance balls at Devontae Adams. I hope you like Jimmy Garoppolo, Key, because you're about to see a lot of that handsome son of a gun.
Did you shoot the Rams? I mean, I think it was Stafford, but the Rams did it for Stafford. They bring in this, like, mobile home trailer, and it's supposed to be like...
Well, he did go to Georgia.
Well, no, but it's like a chirogenic, like, full living arrangement trailer.
I think there was a guy on Hard Knocks that has it. Was it Baker and Tyrod? Didn't Baker and Tyrod?
Yeah, but they used it just to hang out in. Like, Tyrod brought it to the parking lot as, like, without having to go back to their dorms or whatever. But this one is, like, everything inside is supposed to be, like, a chirogenic chamber that you're just walking around in there, but it's supposed to be rejuvenating your body and things.
It'd be kind of cool.
It's, like, $100,000+, and then the Rams are like, whoa, we didn't bring it in just for Stafford. Everybody's able to use it. But Stafford's been the one that I guess they've had using it.
Yeah, they don't want Jimmy Garoppolo to be their quarterback. Hope you like
Jimmy
that.
Jimmy might use it, but he might bring that porn.
You know what, Key from L.A.? Whenever you watch Jimmy Garoppolo get sacked 7 times by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming up in early September, I want you to watch that game from your backyard in the 100-degree heat, Key from L.A.
Chances, if that happens, if the Texans are all over Stafford and they win the game, chances Key from L.A. will have excuses or own up to
he'll have excuses.
Oh, for sure.
He'll have excuses. He won't tip the cap. He'll be like, oh, you guys should be out in the heat as your team won the football game. I imagine that's what Key from LA sounds like. 713-780-ESPN. Houston Restaurant Week's going on right now. Going on right now all the way through Labor Day. Make sure you're taking advantage of this because you can get some delicious food at some very, very nice restaurants for very, very cheap. And then also, there's always a donation attached that's going to the Houston Food Bank. And for every dollar the Houston Food Bank gets, they provide three meals. So make sure you're doing that. Do good for the Houston Food Bank. Do good for your belly. Do good for these restaurants because normally it's a quiet time of the year. Dine out, do good together. Head to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to see the full list of places like B&B Butchers, Black Walnut, Carbach. Bunch of spots doing the Houston Restaurant Week, so make sure you're eating good this time of year. So here's my theory on Yiner. I think Yiner, and I'm not going to go back and look at the work and do all this. I think that Yiner hits bad pitching and he struggles against good pitching. I think he racks up his numbers. Most baseball players do, but I think he racks up his numbers against bad pitching. He'll clobber some jabronis, and all of a sudden you get a little stud out there. Doesn't hit as well. The gap is different because obviously the normal big league hitter is going to hit bad pitching, not do good against good pitching. I'm saying the gap with Yiner is greater than the average big leaguer. He'll clobber bad pitching better than most, but he's even worse against good pitching than most.
Yeah, I know they faced their share of good pitching, but I know that he's been super hot in the last, 2 months? So, I was just really impressed last night lately that he's been able to stay off his biggest nemesis, which is any kind of breaking pitches middle out and on the outside corner. But maybe you're onto something.
Cash or trash, Brian, where are you at on this? Clobber's good pitching or Clobber's bad pitching, but stinks against good pitching, greater than the average bear.
Gut feel, I agree with you, although it's hard to reconcile because I don't know if that was the case like the previous two seasons. It feels like that might be unique to this year, although I'm going to effort looking into it. But, I mean, the first year he hit, 23, 24 bombs? Second year he hit 299? Like, it might just be a this year thing.
So, okay.
Your theory right, though, in the fact that matters. That's advantage Astros, in the fact that there's not that many?
I don't know if it's advantage Astros.
Not that many elite pitchers to where he can take advantage?
No, because, I mean, you're going to see good pitching in the playoffs. Like Jose Altuve is a guy to me that hits everybody. Like, he doesn't matter. Like, his numbers, I'm sure, are a little better versus bad pitchers and good pitchers. But he's the kind of guy who hits everybody. Yordan hits everybody. Michael Brantley hit everybody. I thought Yuli was better against good pitching than bad pitching. Alex Bregman, he's going to hit everybody. Aaron Judge, he doesn't hit everybody. Aaron Judge has some holes in his Aaron swing that playoffs. Great pitchers can take advantage of. Same thing with Shohei. He clobbers great. He clobbers bad pitching, average pitching, good pitching. Great pitcher against Shohei. There's swing and miss there. I think there are certain hitters that don't have the drop-off whenever they face really, really good pitching. And I think we've seen a lot of cases of that in Houston. I think Yiner's more of the opposite, where he's going to struggle against the good pitching. He'll clobber Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler leaving a breaking ball over the middle of the plate, a little hanger. He'll clobber that. You face Garrett Crochet the other day, whenever Garrett Crochet was actually bad, shortest outing of the year, he's going to have an offer. Yiner Diaz was 0-for-4 the other day against Boston. Garrett Crochet on the mound. Now, not all four of those at-bats were against Garrett Crochet, but a couple of them were. It was 0-for-4 against the Yankees. Luis Hill, not a great pitcher. He's been pretty – he's had his moments, Hill, and he's also coming off injury.
So I'm digging through it a little bit, and I'm on the Rangers, like his batting average and whatnot against Rangers pitchers. Against Nathan Eovaldi, he's hitting .333 with the 667 OPS.
Wow. Oh, you pulled up his BVP. That's a good way to do that.
So, I don't know. Like, this could take more digging into. He's a .400 hitter, but it's DeGrom? Only five at-bats against Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom? About DeGrom?
2-for-5. So it's only a small sample size. It's your high school baseball career, Jeremy.
He's a great player. Great player. My theory was dumb. Looking at this?
But then against Patrick Corbin, he's 0-for-2. So, I mean, again, these are small sample sizes.
Patrick Corbin good anymore?
Not really. Yeah. No, he's had a good year, but I wouldn't qualify him as a good pitcher. Where are you finding the BVPs?
I just searched Yiner Diaz versus pitching stats, and this is up on ESPN.
I was trying to find their BVP real quick. That'd have been a good way
to do it. I forget who said it last night.
Stupid game on Friday.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. And I was flipping channels a little bit. But somebody in analyzing Yiner lately said he's just got to make sure that he swings at strikes. If he swings at strikes, he's really good.
That's true.
I know, but at the same time, isn't that the theory for everybody? Just make sure you're swinging at strikes?
That's Ted Williams' first rule in the rule of hitting, yes.
Yeah.
But Yiner's really bad at it.
So I pull up his page versus the Mariners, and this is where your theory is really starting to take form here. So against Luis Castillo, he's a 200 hitter. Against Logan Gilbert, 214. And then George Kirby, 235. So...
struggles against
not hitting any of the studs against for Seattle.
I wonder where those games played would factor into. Okay, yeah, you pull up the BBP on ESPN. Like Arizona, he didn't really face any of their good pitchers, so you can get rid of them. Did the Athletics have a good pitcher?
Severino
on the road.
He hasn't had an at bat against Severino this year, so you couldn't include Severino. Have they played the Braves this year? They played the Braves, haven't they? They played the Braves. He's got a few at-bats, but none of those pitchers are good. Yiner, he hasn't faced any of Baltimore. Well, Trevor Rogers is pretty good.
Yeah.
Trevor Rogers having a good year. 0-3 against Trevor Rogers. Small sample, but we're only looking at 2025 here. If you wanted to go Red Sox, because they were the most recent opponent, 0-4 against Aroldis Chapman, 0-6 against Garrett Crochet, 1-7 against Giolito. All his hits against the Red Sox are like the has-beens, like the other guys, the guys who aren't very good.
Padres?
It's just the eye test. I'm going alphabetical over here.
So I looked at the Yankees, again, tiny sample size, but he went 2-3 against Max Fried.
That's pretty good.
Yep. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Now, Fried didn't have his A game that day, but that's pretty good. I would qualify Fried as a good pitcher. Against the White Sox, he terrorized Davis Martin. Who? Who's Davis Martin? Terrorized Davis Martin.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Cincinnati has some good pitchers. Hunter Green's pretty good. 1-3 against him. Meh. Singer, 2-7. Does have a homer against Singer, though. So that would qualify as like a solid pitcher he's homered against. Who would you say the guards' best pitchers are?
Tanner Bibee.
Green, right?
3-7 against Bibee. Hadn't faced Green. He was 1-5 with a single against Emmanuel Class A. Tigers' good pitchers off the top of your dome.
I mean, obviously, Scooble.
2-8 against Scooble with a walk with 2 Ks.
And,
that's okay.
That's fair.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jack Flaherty?
Flaherty, yeah.
Flaherty's had a tough year, but he's 0-7 against Flaherty. Hasn't faced any of the Astros, obviously. Kansas City, good pitcher off the top of your mind.
Reagan, but although Lugo. He hasn't pitched much.
Hasn't faced Reagan. He's pretty good against Lugo. 3-5 with a double.
Okay.
Against the Angels, good pitcher off the top of your head.
Kikuchi.
Oh, yeah.
1-5 against Kikuchi with 3 strikeouts. Now, the one hit was a double.
This guy pitched last night, the former Cub. He's older, though, too.
Dodgers, good pitchers.
I mean, Shohei.
Shohei.
He's 0-1 against Shohei.
Yamamoto?
He hasn't faced Yamamoto. He's 0-3 against Blake Snell. Miami Marlins, good pitcher.
I mean,
Alcantara.
Not this year.
He's got like a CRA of 7.
Yeah, not this year.
He's still a former Cy Young Award winner.
Was back Roger in the Clemens. Card,
he hasn't been a good pitcher in three
years.
So
was Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I mean, I think there's a lot of teams still after him because he still can pitch. He's got a 99 mile an hour fastball.
Back of the baseball card, though.
Caleb Ort throws 99.
He does.
Milwaukee Brewer, good pitchers.
Well, he didn't face the Miz because the Miz is hurt.
He's awesome too.
Just ask MLB.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah,
Freddie Peralta, 0-3 against him. Minnesota, Joe Ryan, 3-6 against Joe Ryan.
Yiner. There you go,
Yiner. How about the Yankees? Best pitcher? You said Fried.
He went 2-3 against Fried.
Do the Yankees have any other good pitching? Gerrit Cole's donezo.
People are high on Schlitter.
I don't know. Just my eye test on Yiner. I think he struggles more than the average guy. I think the gap is greater with Yiner. 713-780 ESPN HRNP listener line. Stafford's from Highland Park, aka the richest area of Texas. That was the hurt back for Stafford. I don't know why I brought up where he's from.
What was that? Well, because maybe he funded the mobile trailer cryogenic thing.
Ocho says, I couldn't have said it better, Branham. Yiner doesn't have a clue at the plate. He just hopes the bat hits the ball.
I don't think you said that.
Ocho said that.
I know. Oh, I thought he was saying you said that.
No, he's adding commentary
paraphrasing
to it.
Oh.
Would you call Shane Baz a good pitcher for the Rays?
He's okay.
He's four for eight against him. I was trying to give him a point in that favor.
I would consider Baz. I mean, he's a promising pitcher. I wouldn't put him in the Like, my qualification is good. Some of those good pitchers, though, he does have better numbers than I would have guessed. I still believe my theory, and I will continue to see if I can support my theory greater. Just the eye test I have with Yiner. Mediocre pitching, he's going to have a good time. Bad pitching, he's going to have a good time. Good pitching, going to struggle. And I understand that's the case for most big league hitters. But I believe the gap is greater for Yiner than, you know, a lot of the other guys. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Texans had joint practice today with the Carolina Panthers. What stood out to you? 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What stands out to me whenever I look at dealerships around the greater Houston area is that Monument is better than them all. Monument Chevrolet is the best. They're the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing, which is always a stressor. It's always awful. No one likes to do car shopping. You go to Monument Chevrolet, and they're going to alleviate all that stress. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into vehicles, and then these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a great cycle. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to their fantastic culture. Labor Day's coming up. It's just around the corner, but it's not too early to get Labor Day savings at Monument Chevrolet because they love you. They're going to take care of you. We're talking monumental savings, employee pricing plus deep discounts on popular models such as the Chevy Silverado 1500, the EV Blazer, and much, much more. Speaking of the EV Blazer, 0% financing for 36 months on the popular Blazer. Add pre-Labor Day employee pricing and you have a monumental deal. There's no better time to join the 21st century and buy a sleek, modern, comfortable electric SUV than right now. So take advantage of that 0% financing for 3 years. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal at Monument Chevrolet without wasting your time. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Head to monumentchevrolet.com to check out their inventory, monumentchevrolet.com. Or if you're in the area, 225 and Beltway 8. They have a massive plot of land out there because their inventory is so big. So get on out there to Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says Cam looks more bad at bat than Yiner. Cam's had some struggles recently.
Yes, he has.
That really wasn't the conversation, though, Texter.
But it'll fire Israel up.
That's bomb.
Nothing to do with Cam.
No,
but
Cam's
but
not
you're
a bomb.
Right. I mean, you're right, but I don't know why you went there, but you did. Don't people always say put the ball in play? We get mad Yiner swings. I don't know if we got mad that Yiner swings. I feel like people are having liberties with our words here. We get mad that Yiner chases pitches way out of the zone. I also think that putting the ball in play is slightly overrated. Slightly overrated. Like, do I want a guy who strikes out three times a game but homers once a game? Or do I want a guy who goes 1-for-4, puts the ball in play every time, but they're all base hits? Give me the guy that strikes out three times and hits a dong every game.
Yeah, I think to simplify it, but you have an approach at the plate. If you know that you're a middle-end type hitter and the first pitch you see that is going to probably be a strike, but it's on the outside corner, and most of the outside stuff you normally hit into the ground and just don't have any power behind it, then with your approach, you stay off that pitch. I think Yiner has a hard time staying off everything on the outside corner breaking.
I don't want a player swinging at pitches out of the zone. Like, and if he's touching the baseball and he's putting it in play because he has good bat-to-ball skills, which Yiner does. Yiner does have good bat-to-ball skills. I don't want hitters swinging at balls that they can't do any damage with. Is it cool that Yiner Diaz can touch a baseball that's a foot off the outside corner? Not for me. I don't really care for that because it's going to be a weak roller to an infielder and he's going to get thrown out. It's going to be a weak pop fly. Yiner, and they'll all tell you this. For Yiner to take the next level as a good offensive player, he has to swing at better pitches. And you know who would be the first person to tell you that?
Yiner.
Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz would say that.
No, you're not wrong. I think that the one thing I was going to ask you when we were talking about this last segment is, do you think that he can work his way out of it? Because we've seen another guy like that in Jeremy Peña that had a real problem in the last couple of years doing the exact same thing. And he somehow fixed something to where he still does it. He doesn't do it nearly as much. And he's been obviously a much more effective hitter.
Nacho's listening to us, and he just sent me a tweet, and he did this in a very sophisticated way. He gave me Yiner splits versus power pitchers versus average power finesse and versus finesse pitchers. And maybe this is the better take. It's not so much good pitching. Maybe it's power pitching and finesse pitching. Yiner against power pitchers this year, 89 plate appearances, good sample. It's a good sample. Is hitting 186 with an OPS of 586, 27 strikeouts and 86 at-bats. That ain't good. Mm-mm. That ain't good.
What is the threshold for a power pitcher?
Pitchers are in the top third of the league in strikeouts plus walks.
Okay.
Finesse are in the bottom third of the league in strikeouts plus walks. I don't know why they added the walks part of that. And then the average is just the middle. So that would be the qualifier here. I don't know what the walks have to do with it.
I don't know if this was guys hitting a certain velocity or if it was just like the best guys.
Yeah, so power is the guys who get a bunch of punch-outs. Top third in the league in punch-outs. Finesse are bottom third of the league in punch-outs. And then the middle is the middle. So against power, he's hitting 186 with a 586 OPS. Ain't good. 27 Ks, 86 at-bats, ain't good. Against finesse pitching, 321 average, 863 OPS, 24 strikeouts and 190 at-bats, which is that's factored in because the power pitchers are the guys who are top third. But that's a big difference.
Yeah, you think?
150-point difference.
Man, that's massive.
In average. I mean, OPS, it's almost 300 points.
But do you think that he can work his way? I mean, is that something throughout his career in the next couple of years?
No, I don't. I think his game – now, okay, yes and no. The point I was going to make initially, I think part of his flaw is that he struggles against power pitching. Mm-hmm. He struggles against guys who have the ability to punch you out. Whereas guys who are pitching to contact, okay, that fits him. Like he can handle that. Where he can work his way out of it is what we just said, is like he can swing at better pitches and stop chasing and be less prone to the strikeout, be less prone to soft contact. But I don't know if he has that in his bag. It's hard for me to imagine Yiner Diaz ever even getting to Jeremy Peña level selectiveness, because Peña used to be the same way. Peña's still not even good at it, but Peña has improved greatly from where he has been in his previous 3 years.
Yeah, there were times where I didn't think Jeremy Peña was ever going to be able to do it, and Jeremy Peña is doing it. And so that's why I hold out hope that there's some kind of a change, whether it be in, you know, in approach and or whatever it takes with the mechanics behind it, that maybe he can lay off some of the – because you're right. I mean, look, he barrels the ball really well when it's in the zone, but he chases way too many pitches, and everybody knows it.
Uncle Barney says Yiner isn't good against guys who walk people because he swings at everything. That's a good point.
Have you seen – adding evidence to that, have you seen his Baseball Savant page on this?
I haven't looked in a while, but I imagine his chase rate's very, very high.
His chase rate is not only very, very high, it's one percentile.
Yeah.
It's as low as it could possibly be.
So he's one of the biggest chasers in the
league. By definition, he's a more of a chaser than 99% of the league.
And whenever I'm saying, like, can he elevate to being good at it? No, he's never going to be good at it. He's never going to be above average at it in baseball. But can he get it to 25%?
Right.
If it's a 25%, it's a substantial improvement. That's what Jeremy Peña did. I mean, Jeremy Peña went from a guy who chased a lot, not to Yiner's, who chased a lot, who didn't walk much. Like last year Peña's chase percentage was in the 8th percentile. Poor, bad. His walk percentage was in the 4th percentile. Bad, poor. This year, he's only up to 11 in chase percentage, 16th in walk percentage. It's not an unbelievable, oh my goodness, stride. It's just better. And if it's just a little bit better, everything else follows. So I think Yiner's capable. Do I trust Yiner to do it? I don't know. Not really.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to believe it can get better, but it does seem like, and it's kind of like when we talk about sometimes with his catching and where he gets lackadaisical, it's going to take work. And there's a mental discipline that goes with it, no matter aside from everything else, that sometimes I question how much he really works on his game to where that would factor in.
Yeah, he doesn't have to get way better at it. Just a little bit better, and he becomes a way better player. But yeah, this is kind of a thought on Yiner. Texture says that Altuve must drive you nuts, Branham. Yeah, Altuve does drive me nuts at times with his swing decisions. He chases a lot of balls that he can't do anything with either. And then we'll celebrate when he gets a little blooper into center that's a foot off the plate. Yeah, it's tremendous. It's tremendous bat to ball skills, but he's not really helping out his own cause there a whole lot.
The frustrating thing to me is, yeah, he may not swing and miss on that outside pitch. Those one-arm swings where he just literally throws the bat at the ball and just barely gets the end of the bat or the barrel on the ball. And there are at-bats where he just looks in total control, and then there's other at-bats where he looks like he just doesn't have a clue. And then when he gets down in the count, he's just flailing and trying to foul everything off.
Yeah, but he's a goat, and we don't talk poorly about the goats. Ocho says that Yiner chases because he's guessing. That might be true. It could be true. This time last year, would you have trusted Pena to improve his chase rate? I mean, yeah, a little bit, because I look at Pena and I see a guy who obviously cares about himself and the way he looks and his game and his work ethic. I think that Yiner is capable. I think he's capable.
I think I would say to that, though, I did not have confidence that Jeremy Pena was going to figure it out last year at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he didn't show you anything in his first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Rocky, to be fair, y'all didn't think Altuve's OPS wouldn't get to 750, yet now it's over 800. Rocky, you're wrong. That is not true. No, y'all didn't think that. Our very own Brian McDonald, who we always talk very highly of, and he's smart, and he should talk as much as he wants, and he works a lot, never takes days off. Our very own Brian McDonald, who represents us, who represents the Killer Bees, actually bet a jabroni who doesn't know ball, who's a casual, that Altuve would hit 750. So, Rocky, get your facts right.
Now, 713-780. I supported Brian on that. I just wouldn't bet.
All right,
you don't want to bet anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. What has piqued your interest at joint practice today with the Texans? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Walmart.com. Sure, we all know what Walmart brings to the table. Tons of selection, great products at super low prices, and that's fantastic. But do you know what's new and improved with Walmart? It's Walmart.com. My wife and I were talking about it because with our schedules, we go to a lot of different curbside pickups and the ability to go and get what we need quickly so we don't have to spend a lot of time shopping with the kids and the dogs and everything that we got going on. That's why Walmart.com is so good for you. Who knew that now all new Walmart.com has got everything for you. It's got over a half a billion items online, a huge selection, and a lot of items that you can't find in the stores. And unlike grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. Let me say that again for you. Unlike grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same if they deliver it to your door than if you bought it in the store. So why wouldn't you use Walmart.com? So convenient, so time-saving, and you still get the great prices, and you get the best products. And it's all across the board. It's groceries. It's anything you need from the kids department or the toy department or anything in between that you might need, housewares and household items, all can be delivered to your door. Sometimes it's as fast as an hour, but you got to pay a little extra for that. But if you're just good with them delivering it to your door, it's the same price as if you walked into the store. Whether you're feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, need something for the kids tomorrow for school, it's all available via Walmart.com. Check them out today and see how they can help you even more than they already do by having great selection and low prices. They are fantastic, and they're here to serve you. From groceries to home goods, prescriptions, and more, it's all subject to availability. But learn more by checking out what's new with Walmart. It's Walmart.com. Check them out today.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ocho in our Twitch chat is sweating the Blue Jays game. Apparently Tucker struck out in a big spot. Tucker's been abysmal lately for the Cubbies.
Did you see the speed on the helmet last night?
I don't think that was a real speed.
I'm kidding.
I didn't think
it was 99. I'm just saying, a guy that normally doesn't show any emotion, whether he's going good or bad, aside from the whole driver wheel thing that he does when he gets on base, he was pretty ticked off. He's struggling.
Joe was telling me he's hitting like 200 in the last 2 months.
He's got one home run since like...
Maybe it's good he broke his leg last year. That way we wouldn't have to endure a 200 for 2 month stretch.
Yeah, he's only got like one home run in the last month and something, I think.
Joe was telling me he has a busted up finger, though. Got hit by a pitch on his finger and hadn't been the same. So maybe he's playing through something.
So he's soft?
And he's losing money.
Wouldn't be the first time. I don't know that he is.
I think he is.
I don't know.
If it continues like this, how can
a busted finger ain't going to cost him money.
I don't think he's losing money. Like, I know he's struggling right now, but I don't think Kyle Tucker's going to lose much money here.
I still bet that he gets 300 plus.
Yeah. Somebody's still going to pay him, I believe.
It only takes one.
I'm surprised he's playing through it, though, if it is indeed bothering him. All right, what has piqued your interest at Texans camp today, Blankers?
I like it. I'm much like you, and we talked about this previously. I like the joint practices. I think that short of what everybody has to endure and watch on television, the best competition and the best ability to kind of evaluate the talent is when they're doing these practices. And it was cool checking up on everybody's reports coming out of camp, both from the Carolina side and from the Texan side, just to kind of check all bases. I've been intrigued by the wide receivers, and I've said that. I mean, this cutdown is going to be really interesting, and we were talking about it the other day, but Berrios, good again today. He's had a great camp so far, but then Hutchinson and Mechie have also stepped up today. I think it's going to be a really fun battle to watch, and interesting how the Texans handle it. Are they just going to they're going to make their cuts? Is someone going to possibly try to make a trade for at least one of the guys that they have? It's going to be fun.
I think that I think they're going to keep seven receivers. D'Amico was talking today about Hutchinson, and he's not going to bash a guy, but he said specifically that Hutchinson is in a really good spot to help the team. I don't think you say that about a guy that you're going to cut in a few weeks. And, yeah, there's a lot that can happen between now and when you have to trim the roster down to 53 and you cross that bridge when you get to it. I totally understand that. But it's very hard for me to believe that a few weeks before the cutdown day that D'Amico is going to say about a player he's in a really good spot to help the team and then cut him in a few weeks. I think they're going to keep seven receivers. That's my take.
Unless, conspiracy, they think they might be able to trade him. Like a six seven swapper or something real low stakes, but maybe you talk him up if you want to trade him
in play. I don't think it would be Hutchinson though. And look, maybe I'm reading way too much into one press conference quote. I think it could be Mech.
Yeah,
but I think they're just going to keep seven. I think they're going to keep seven guys. I think Watson's going to be the odd man out. Oh, they brought in Watson. Why would they get rid of Watson? The same way they did that with Ben Skowronek last year.
Yeah, they traded for
Ben Skowronek, yeah. And then they cut Ben Skowronek. So that would be the parallel, the precedent of how they would get rid of a special teams white wide receiver that wouldn't make the team.
Are you bringing white?
Got to go to the white card?
Because I think it's very important to draw parallels to back up your case. And I think it is a great way to draw a parallel to back up my case. It's a piece of evidence that supports my theory. But I think they keep seven. The four that we know, Nico, Higgins, Kirk, they call him the slot demon, by the way. Christian Kirk will be my number three. And then obviously Jalen Knowles, your four, the guy that you drafted from Iowa State. Then following that, I think they keep both of the young project receivers, Hutchinson and Mechie. And I think the seventh that they keep is the guy that's dating the influencer, Braxton Berrios.
Just because it keeps Alex Earl here or because of what he can contribute?
I think Houston needs Alex Earl here. We have to know what Alex Earl's doing when she's getting ready.
Is she the Kate Upton replacement?
No. I mean, she's very popular in the TikTok world. I don't think many people know who Alex Earl is.
I mean, the Carl's Jr. ad for the Super Bowl, I think, certainly upgraded her.
Do you think people remember that or even know that her name is associated with it?
I don't remember that.
I don't either. I remember that it was a saucy commercial. I don't remember that. Well,
saucy?
Because it was also, wasn't it sauce dripping everywhere?
Okay, true.
But yeah, but at the same time,
I don't
remember her name, and I knew
that
her
name came to everyone's.
She was in two Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
Can you name the, what are they?
I don't know.
You don't even know.
I'm a casual.
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, that's the one I knew.
Alex. Is it Earl or Earl?
I think it's Earl.
Is it Earl? Okay, Alex. I don't know. She spells Alex with an I, A-L-I-X. The other one was Poppy Soda.
Oh. I don't remember that one.
Well, less carbs, less sugary, better for you.
No, I know. I've heard of it. I don't remember the commercial.
It is a lot more expensive.
My God, my wife loves it.
Yeah.
She sent me to the store one day, and I called her. I go, are you kidding me? Yep. One can of soda is like $3.
My wife bought
like the Waterloo soda. Like the water, I don't know if they call it just
Waterloo.
Yeah, Waterloo, the carbonated sodas.
You can find the sparkling water, bubbly water. You can find bubbly water pretty affordable.
Yeah, some of them.
Some of the brands are
some of the brands,
end,
right? Yeah.
But you can find bubbly water that's pretty cheap. But you're right about the poppies.
Oh my,
they're like 3 to 5 times more than a normal can of soda, but they're also 10 times better for you. So what do you really care about?
Yes, antioxidants and all the stuff they got in them. But
my wife bought home like a 12 pack variety pack. And I was like,
"Is that why
$50?
Is that why you have to work multiple jobs?
That's why I've been packing my lunch every day. That's why I have to work 2 jobs. You bought Poppy Soda. No, but I think they're going to keep 7 guys. I think they're going to keep 7. They kept 7 last year
because Berrios is kind of like last year. Like, yes. Steven Sims is a special teams guy. I think that makes it very possible.
Your punt returner is coming from that room,
right?
Now,
if it wasn't,
cut,
then
it's probably Noel. Yeah. And look, Pierce is probably going to be your kick returner. I would bet. I think he's going to return kicks. I think he'll still be on this team. I wouldn't say he was hurt again.
Just sat out today.
Yeah, that was also one of the things I wanted to bring up. No Christian Harris, no Damian Pierce, no Cam Robinson today. Yeah. But they're easing him in. They're like Jordan Alvarez taking BP. They're easing him in. That makes sense though. Like Harris and Pierce haven't been out there much. Why would you subject them to real life physical contact
like really
against the opponent?
Intense.
Yeah, that was smart, I thought.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
I thought that was smart. All right, so
I was just worried that there was another injury.
No, I hadn't
Pierce.
Heard that.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
No, I glanced at what the injury report was, but I wasn't sure that it was anything further. I understand with Harris because he's just barely back.
Is it Alex Earl?
I think so.
Do you know Alex Earl? Do you know who she is? 713-780-3776. This texter says no idea who you are talking about.
Just Google her.
Alex Earl is a social media influencer that has grown to fame because she has a conversation while she gets ready, like makeup.
Well, she's famous because she's hot.
Well, I think that's. I mean, I guess.
I mean, that is
beauty's
a job.
In the eye
that
of
is
the holder,
a job in
Ryan.
2025.
It does help to be a beautiful woman than a beautiful man. That's why my TikTok following so low, because I'm a beautiful man, not a beautiful woman.
Go to break.
Wow. No, but I'm curious. Do you know who Alex Earl is? Because I don't think she's the Kate Upton.
I honestly knew that
Berrios had a very popular, I wouldn't say famous, but a very popular social media girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I didn't know her name, and I didn't know who she was.
Very, very, very popular influencer that makes a lot of money.
Yes.
But I don't know if she's well known, especially for our demographic. Like everybody in our demographic knows Kate Upton. I don't think they know Alex Earl or Early or how to say her name. 713-780-ESPN. Also, what has piqued your interest in Texans, Cam? I have a few more things. I know Brian's got a few things he wants to get in edgewise. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.